broadcast of Gnostic Radio, a free public service from Telema Press. Each Saturday, Gnostic Radio broadcasts free lectures from the Gnostic tradition of Samaelon Vior. Gnosis is the essential wisdom from which all religions have been born. Gnosis is the universal doctrine, containing the precise science to free the soul from suffering. Each lecture explores another aspect of this timeless and sacred knowledge. Listeners are encouraged to participate in the live chat session via AOL's instant messaging software, available for free on the web. Simply download and install this software and send a message to Gnostic School in order to be included in the chat session. Participants are able to send in questions about the lecture, which will be answered in the broadcast. Participation is free and completely anonymous. For more information about Gnosis, these lectures, or how to install the AOL software, you can visit the website of Telema Press at www.gnosis-usa.com. Now, with heartfelt wishes for the end of all suffering, we present today's lecture. May all beings be happy.
Good morning. This is the morning of Saturday, the 12th. We are entering again into the sequence of lectures related with the book of Revelation. And as you know, the book of Revelation is 100% Kabbalistic book. And only knowing Kabbalah and alchemy is possible to understand its mysteries. Remember that all cryptic symbols are always have always seven interpretations, because everything develops according to the law of seven. The law of seven is the law that organizes, that law that we call the Epta Para Parshinak. So any symbol develops in that way. That way you had to comprehend that we are unveiling the book of Revelation in relation with ourselves, with the development. We will say that we had to perform inside of our psyche, our body, our spirit. All of us, and I hope everybody in the forum which is listening to this lecture, has already the poster of Kabbalah, which is always helpful in order to understand what we're talking about. And I remind you that also we already posted in the sequence of lectures of the Book of Revelation this lecture that we are giving right now, meaning the syntax of all what we are saying is there. So you can read and understand and comprehend what we are explaining little by little during the lecture. We are entering into the world fire, because the Church of Pergamos, which is related with the chakra Manipura, is related with the element fire. But you know, each chakra relates with an element. We said that the chakra Muladhara is related with the earth, the chakra Swadhisthana with the water, and now the chakra Manipura with the fire. So we are entering into a beautiful theme, since we know it is written that God is fire. That's why it was written on the top of the cross of the crucified, Ignri, which means Ignis Natura Renovatur Integra, Latin. The fire renews nature constantly. So, the Church of Pergamos starts as follows. And to the angel of the Church of Pergamos write, "These things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges." As we said in other lectures, the Logos, Christ, is divided in seven parts, main parts, in the solar system, or any solar system, exists always a high family, a high hierarchy, related with these seven parts of the cosmic fire, which in Kabbalah we call the Ein Sof Or. The Ein Sof Or is related with that we call the Ray of Okidanok, which is the first emanation of the Ein Sof, the absolute, pure light, have the power of manifesting the power of the absolute in the matter and in energy. So the Ein Sof Or is what in Greek we call Christos, and in Latin we call Lucifer, the first emanation of the unknowable divine. About this Lucifer, there are many wrong interpretations due to the fact that the Catholic Church and many other sects of the Middle Ages misunderstood many Kabbalistic and alchemistic symbols. And this lecture really will give us a clear explanation about that mistake. Because Lucifer, as you know, is a Latin word which means carrier of light. Lucy in Latin is come from the word lux, which means light, and fair is carrier. So the carrier of light, obviously, is fire. Where there is fire, there is light. Where there is light, is fire. That's why also the Master Samael on there gives the meaning of Lucifer to light and fire, being the fire, the carrier of the light. So that Lucifer, or carrier of the light, that fire, is the Ein Sof Or, which is the first emanation of the Ein Sof, which divided itself into three, which are the three primary forces. And of course, the three primary forces is what we call in Kabbalah, Keter, Chokhmah, Binah, and what in Christianity is called Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The world of Atziluth, the world of archetypes, is the first manifested world that comes from that ray of creation. And is a place, of course, in the core of the sun. Any sun, S-U-N, is by itself a physical vehicle of that spiritual light, which is not located in the three-dimensional world, but in the seventh dimension. And this is what we have to comprehend, because the solar light that we see in this three-dimensional world is nothing else than an unfoldment of that light, which resides in the seventh dimension, and that the physical sun becomes the physical vehicle of that. So every sun in the infinite space, we will say, is like an atom. And if we reunite all of the suns of the infinite space, then we can make a physical body with it. And that will be the physical body of that spiritual light that we're talking here. So, in synthesis, we say that any sun is a central focus of that light that emanates from the Ein Sof Or. And that's why when we talk about the three primary forces of the universe, we always point the sun, which is the crystallization, the matter of that three primary forces, which is what we call hydrogen. So that solar light travels, of course, in the space, as you know, and enters into the atmosphere of all the planets. Related with the planet Earth, we know that the solar light is placed in the atmosphere thanks to the law of gravity. The law of gravity is a variation of that law that is called the law of downfall. The law of downfall is related with the law of involution, or the way in which the light of the absolute goes down into the matter, evolve into the matter. This is how that light, which is the first emanation of the uncreated, absolute, cosmic, abstract Father, enters into the universe and falls into the matter. That is what is called the falling of Lucifer. Remember that we are talking here from the alchemistic, Kabbalistic point of view. We are not referring here to any particular individual, but to the light of the absolute, the Ein Sof Or, its ascension. So that Lucifer, in the beginning, is beautiful, is the Ein Sof Or. But as it descends into the different dimensions and cosmoses, is losing its beauty, its splendors. And when it enters into the matter, becomes black, because it's within the matter, but it's the same force. Of course, this reminds us that great mythological story from the Greeks about Prometheus. Prometheus, of course, is Christus Lucifer. According to the Greeks, Prometheus steals the fire from the sun and takes it down into the earth and gives it to men. Here, there, of course, the marvelous wisdom hidden within that myth that we had to understand. That means that Lucifer descends from the angels off, from that solar light, and enters into the planet and is placed in the atmosphere. Because the sun places its energy during the day in the atmosphere. This is how Prometheus takes the fire of the sun and places it in the earth. But also it is written in the myth of the Greeks that this Prometheus gives the fire to men. How does that solar light enters into the human being? And here precisely when we have to comprehend and understand the physiology of the human being. Remember that physically we have another body above the physical body, which is called the vital or ethereal body. And it's related, this vital body, with all the chakras that we are talking here. Because in the physical body, we find all the plexuses. Here in this area of the abdomen, between the pit of the stomach and the navel, we have that we call solar plex. What is this called solar plex? Because we have a vortex of solar energy in this area. That's why in many of the books, we always teach that in order to conjure, you have to put your left hand on your solar plex in order to take that solar energy, which is Christ, and to send the energy through your three fingers to that entity that you want to conjure or to reject when you want to defend yourself. Because in this area is where we have the solar force. How do you take that energy from the atmosphere into your solar plex? Well, we have two plexuses in that area which are called the hepatic plexus and the spleen plexus. One is related with the liver, the hepatic, and the splenic, which is with the spleen. Both vortices takes during the night, when we are sleeping, the solar energy that the sun placed in the atmosphere. And this is how Prometheus enters into the body of the human being. That energy that we call Lucifer, or Christ, the angel of or. So, you know that the liver is that main organ related with the creation of the blood in the physical body. And the spleen is that organ related with the creation of the red cells in our blood. Of course, that's why it is written that the blood is the vehicle of the spirit, the solar spirit. And the blood transforms into semen and sperm, or ovums. and all that substance that we have in our sexual glands. There you know and have to understand why Lucifer is related with the sexual force. This is how the physical body is charged with solar energy during the night. But of course, it is written that that gift of Prometheus, that gift of Lucifer, which is the fire, the solar fire that given to the human being, became a damnation from humanity because humanity didn't know how to handle that fire. Of course, in the solar plex, we have all of those elements related with our past animal behavior. Meaning that when we were animals, that energy was working according to the law of the monad. Mechanically, but perfectly. Likewise, we will say in the plant kingdom and in the mineral kingdom. If we use our sense of intuition, we will see that the three previous chakras are related with the two previous chakras, with the two inferior kingdoms, and we are entering now into this animal state, which is the chakra Manipura, which right now is working against us. Remember that according to the myth, the Greek myth of Prometheus, it is written that Prometheus gives a lot of virtues, attributes to all animals. But when he starts creating the man, he has nothing for the man. The human being is like weak. He says, what to give to this creature? Because I already gave all of the powers, attributes, etc. to all animals. And then he says, well, the fire. Meaning, the way in which we take advantage of the fire. But because the human being received the knowledge that of the fire, he didn't know how to handle it. And you know that the brother of Prometheus, which is Epimetheus, or the outcome of that mistake, with him, Pandora opens the box of all the diseases, defects, vices that we have right now in our physical body. Meaning that they misuse the box, the sexual force, they use it in the wrong way. And the outcome is that. So therefore, Jupiter or Zeus take Prometheus and chain him to the rock. Meaning that that energy, solar force, is chained to the rock of sex, to this area. Not only to the sexual organs, but also to the solar plex. Because the myth says that a vulture comes every day and eats the guts of Prometheus during the day. Meaning that the ego of lust eats the guts, the solar energy during the day, and any type of ego. Because in this area, we have all the animal appetites. Remember that there is a saying in English that when you are going to do something bold, you said, oh, you don't have the guts to do it. Translation is, you have not the animal courage on doing that. Oh, my guts tell me something. Meaning your animal instinctual forces there are talking to you or telling something to you. It's not that the people think on my spiritual level or my soul. No, your animal that acts as instinct. Let us put the example in the irrational animals, cats, dogs, horses, whatever. When a catastrophe is coming, tsunami, earthquake, their guts are working perfectly. So they go out because their mona through their guts or emotional center, telling them, get out from here. Something dangerous is coming. And this is how the animals obey their guts in the perfect way. But we are in the human state or trying to be in the human state. So our guts are turning against us. Because it is written that we have to eliminate all the animal elements in order to enter into the human state. We have to transform the instinct into intuition. We have to transform the negative emotions into superior emotions. All the negative emotions that we feel in this area are animal, 100%. And that's why the master says, it's coming into my mind now, another lecture that the master gave many years ago about Alcyon, the rings of Alcyon, which are, of course, the solar energy. This is that when that energy enters into the solar plex, people cannot control it. And instead of using it in the positive way, they use it for the negative way. So you see the relationship there? The negative emotions turn the people liar. And it is written that Satan is the father of lies. The origin of that. But in the humanoid kingdom. Because now that emotional aspect is turning, instead of Prometheus, we have Epimetheus. The one that sees the event after happening. But Prometheus is that capability of seeing the event before. You see? And that is related with this area. Because here we have the telepathic center, which captures the mind of nature. You see? You have to understand that. It's not just the mind of or thoughts that people send through the pineal gland, because the pineal gland is the emissary of thoughts. And not only human beings think, but also animals, also plants. Everything has mind. So this solar plex, which is related with the solar light, is a marvelous sense that when it's awakened, captures mental waves from all of nature. And then you know what is going to happen. Because in nature there exist the angels, devas, that control the forces of nature. And they send always messages when they are doing something with nature. The animals capture that and leave. But we are screwed here. We don't listen to that. The wave is entering into your guts, but you don't understand that. Because there is another liar there, which is your Satan, your ego, that transformed that in the wrong way. Even your guts is telling you something. You say, oh, my guts are telling me something. Your animal level is telling you something, but you don't listen to your animal soul either. Because your intellect is precisely the problem, reasoning. And you go in the wrong way. So now you understand and comprehend why that solar light, Lucifer, unfortunately turned inside of us into Satan. That's why it is written that we have to transform Satan into Lucifer. And that's precisely the great work that we have to perform in this state in which we are. That animal state called Satan now, in this level in which we are, was Lucifer in the animal kingdom, in the plant kingdom, in the mineral kingdom. But because we don't obey the laws of the human kingdom, it's turning into Satan. Or that which is precisely that same power that is suffering in the solar plex and transforming the wrong way. Lust and all of those egos eat their guts, or the guts of Lucifer, suffering, Prometheus. Every single day, and during the night, the solar light enters again in the solar plex and renews all the organs. And the next day again, the vulture comes and do the same thing. That is the supplicius of Prometheus. And of course, this happens every day with us. The solar light. Of course, this is another symbol there, because the book of Revelation says, the things which I said with the double sharp sword. That double sharp sword is the word of God, the word of Christ. Because if you read later in other chapters, it is written that that sharp sword comes from the mouth of Christ, which precisely, as we told you in other lectures, is the chakra Vishuddha, the chakra related with the throat. And you see in the poster of Kabbalah, you find that that is precisely placed in that area of the larynx. It says that in the beginning God created with the Word, and the Word was God. So the Word in that, in our case, is the wisdom, the knowledge, gnosis. And that is precisely the double sharp sword, or the two edges sword, that gives the meaning of everything, not only in a lecture, but when you read a book, or when you meditate, or when you receive in the internal planes a vision. That chakra gives you the intuitive knowledge of that, which has a lot. To develop that chakra of the throat is the best. And who is in charge of that Vishuddha chakra? I'm not going to talk a lot about that, because still we have to give a lecture about it. We are now in Manipura. But let me tell you that it's Samael, the fifth of the seven. And that's why it is written that Samael, Mars, is in the thyroid, parathyroid gland, in the throat, which gives the power, the meaning. That's why Samael is the one that delivers the synthesis of the knowledge of the Gospels. Because he has the word, he has that sharp sword. All the Logos have that sharp sword. But Samael in itself has that duty, or deliver that sword to humankind. And that's why we are receiving the knowledge. Samael is the spirit of fire, the king of fire. When we do our conjuration in order to invoke the salamanders of fire, we said, by Samael, king of volcanoes and earthquakes. Because he is that magma of fire. He's a king of fire. That's why Samael has been misinterpreted by many Kabbalists and alchemists. Because they don't know about this transformation of that solar light that enters into the body. And Samael is the fifth helper that plays that solar light into the physical body. That's why Samael is called Lucifer as well. And by the way, on the or in Hebrew means light and strength, sexual strength, on the or. Samael on the or is that. But also Samael, in many explanations that other people do in books of Kabbalah and alchemy, says that he is associated with this angel of the bottomless pit, which his name in Greek is Apollyon, and in Hebrew, Abaddon. Apollyon reminds us Apollo, the genie of the sun, according to the Greeks, Apollo is the god of the sun, solar light. Apollyon, of course, is that solar light in the human body, which, as you see, turns in the solar plex into a destroyer of our own particular psyche, into a destroyer of this society, because all of humanity, instead of having Apollo, the Christic solar light, acting positively, they have the opposite, which is Apollyon, or Abaddon. Abba in Hebrew means father. Adon is Lord, Lord or Father, but we can also apply On, which is the strength, or sexual strength. So the strength of the father is there. That's why in Taoism, when the man is lacking sexual virility, the Taoists or acupuncturists, they suminister to them elements that will feed the kidneys. And the kidneys, the chakra of the kidneys, above the kidneys we have two chakras, which are registering the use of the sexual energy that we do, not only in the sexual organs, but in all the organism. Because the sexual energy is utilized in many ways in different levels. So when you have the chakra of the kidneys weak, it's because the solar force, sexual energy, is used in the wrong way. So then you have to feed your kidneys. And this is the Taoist or acupuncturist gives you medicine for your kidneys, which will nourish your liver, your spleen, your prostate, your uterus, your ovaries, your testicles, and that will nourish by a consequence, as a consequence, the whole organism. And that's why it is good for any Gnostic alchemist to take elements that will feed their kidneys. Because karma enters to the kidneys. You will see that in the next lecture. I'm just putting that for the other lecture, you know, not for me. So, that is related, but I don't say that because I'm just touching a little bit, because otherwise I will give two lectures here. So you're following it, right? The mystery of that, how Samael is related with the fire, with that, with Gnosis, and that's why we are teaching this. We are having, when we teach, we have the power of Samael in our throat, in our verb, in our words. Because we are disciples of Samael, the king of fire. And mainly, if our monad belongs to the ray of strength. But always Samael is there in all of the rays. Because remember that Christ is a multiple perfect unity, but acts in different ways according to the ray, but is the same energy. And unfortunately, as you see now, how the Bible says in Book of Revelation that the great battle, Armageddon, the Armageddon is coming, which is a fight between the evil forces and the good forces. But that happens inside of you. The good forces are coming from your heart, the atom nous, which channel the Christ. The atom nous is that element that will eventually give us the level of human being. But those forces have to fight because, you see, the superior emotional forces related with Christ have to fight against the inferior negative forces of Apollyon or Abaddon, which are there in the solar plex. And this is how you see the meaning when we talk about the fire. So you have to be careful in order to understand and comprehend how that the forces of Christ enters into you, and that's why the knowledge to study the doctrine is indispensable. Because the chakra Vishuddha gives you understanding of that, comprehension of that, and then to apply it. That's why we always reject those ludicrous assertions of other pseudo-Gnostics that says that only with 5 books are enough or is enough in order to develop. No. You have to study the doctrine. That's why the master wrote many books, because you have to understand all of these points. That's why there have been many Hannes Musen in Gnosticism, meaning Gnostic with double polarity, because some of those Gnostics follow their guts and they think that they are predicting something with their guts, and in their guts we have Satan, which is polarized in a negative way, that fire that we have to disintegrate. That's why the Master says very clear, we have to transform our negative emotions. When we are slave of our negative emotions, we are disconnected from our monad, which is the truth. And negative emotions are very subtle. So you follow that? Do you understand and comprehend about this chakra Vishuddha? I mean Manipura. But this is also Vishuddha, because the double-edged sword of God protrudes from Vishuddha and hurts Manipura. That's why the book of Revelation says, I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days where Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth. So you understand that that Satan, of course, is not an individual, but the solar fire there. That every time when we are slave of a negative emotion, we're slain. Slain. Slain? Slay. To slay. Correction here, the word is slay. We slay Antipas. This Antipas symbolizes that power that I was telling you. In this area, in ancient times, when humanity was not degenerated, so degenerated, Antipas was alive, or that sense, superior sense, was alive there in the temple. So there were, we were receiving information of nature, and we were handling nature, because we were obeying the gods or the angels. But now it's coming to my mind this. Instead of obeying the gods, we are obeying our guts. You see? Meaning that you are following your own animal instincts. Because here is where Satan's seat is. Meaning, here is where we create all of those negative entities that we have. The Master Samael Onveor explains very clear in his book, The Mystery of the Golden Blossom, how we create negative things in our solar plex. But also we know that we created ego because of fornication. And that's why Satan, or the negative elements of the fire, works from the tip, the pit of the stomach, downwards. They cannot go further into other chakras. But, of course, as we say, in the mind, if we have evil thoughts, those evil thoughts are immediately attracted by that element here, or the elements of that ego that we have in this area, in order to nourish it. That's why when you, for instance, the Master says in one of his books, that pornography give you impotence. How? Easy. When you are watching pornography, that image enters into your mind through your eyes. And immediately, that pornographic image is attracted by those elements that you have in your solar plex in the lower abdomen and nourish it. They fornicate, they adulterate with it. So they expend the solar energy, which the sun places there in many ways, through that action. So the thing is that that energy is expended. So when you want to perform the transmutation, when you want to do this or that with the solar energy that you should use, instead of stealing the fire from the devil already stole the fire from you. You understand that? This is the axiom that says you have to steal the fire from the devil. You have to understand what is to steal the fire from the devil. To steal the fire from the devil is to control your Kama Rupa. Because in this area of the solar plex, you have also the emotional brain. The emotional brain is related with the grand sympathetic nervous system. And that system is a vehicle of the astral body when you have it created. Because instead of the astral body, as you know, we have the Kama Rupa. And Kama Rupa means vehicle of desire or passion. So in the Kama Rupa, which is the protoplasmic bodies that animals have, all animals have their Kama Rupa. And they use that Kama Rupa, protoplasmic lunar body, in order to travel in the astral plane or in any plane. But unfortunately, this Kama Rupa of animals turns into damnation for us. Because that Kama Rupa behaves as animals behaves. The meaning that fornicate, adulterate, and all of those animal appetites are there that are erroneously called inhuman elements, or human elements, I mean. Defects of humans, no, animals. That also is related with that in Kabbalah we call nefesh, the animal soul that we have to transform. It is written that that nefesh, animal soul, is a donkey. And that donkey has to be transformed into a human being. That's a great task. And the only one that can transform that into a human being is Christ. Meaning we had to work with the fires of the heart in order to transform the donkey into a human being. And that's why the great commandment of the Lord is you have to love thy enemies. Meaning that you have to transform your negative emotions. You have to transform them into positive emotions. In order to save emotional energy. In order to create the astral body. We need to create an astral body. And the astral body is what we say is our own particular individual Jesus Christ. Paul of Tarsus, in his letters or epistles written in the Bible in the New Testament after the Gospels, he says, little brothers or little children, I am with pain of deliverance until Christ is formed within you. And this is something that we have to comprehend. Because as we have the Kama Rupa, which is the vehicle of the astral solar force for animals, the way in which the solar light behaves in animals, we have now to be born again as human beings in order to create a vehicle that will transform the solar light as human beings. And that's the meaning of we need to be born again if we want to enter into the kingdom of the human level or to the kingdom of heaven. And for that, we had to create the astral solar body, which is a vehicle that is called the individual particular Jesus Christ inside of us, our own human level. This is how we start. And that is related with the emotional center. That's why the master explains that if we misuse the emotional energy, if we don't save the emotional energy, we cannot create the astral solar body. So we had to take the food from our guts, from our ego, from our negative emotions that all the time are being fed through the solar plex. In the solar plex, you find self-esteem, pride, hatred, fear, gluttony, laziness, lust, anger, and many of those defects, which are animal. And this society, as you can see, is based on that. All of this society, especially capitalism, is based on the egos that we have in that area. Vanity, lust, gluttony. For your gluttony, you have, for instance, McDonald's, Burger King, Kentucky Fried Chicken, and many things. Starbucks as well. And also Donuts. For your vanity, well, you have there a lot of stores there where they sell beautiful suits, dresses, shirts, blouses. And also they sell cosmetics. And also even the industry of medicine, plastic surgery. If your vanity is not pleased with your face, you can change it. No problem. But that's not for the soul, for the spirit. It's just for your ego, for your guts. And after that, you appear there in TV crying. Oh, I was ugly, now I am beautiful. I am pleased with me. With what? With that ego of vanity, of course. Lust? I don't have to tell you how. But it's everywhere. Fear? Well, politicians know about that. And exploit the fear of people in order to win elections. The whole society, as you see, is related with the ego, with the animal level. And meanwhile, we have the guts, you see, now we use the word, the guts to say that we are humans. When guts are related with animals, not with humans. Human uses intuition. A human being never uses his guts. Uses his intuition. Because follows God, the monad, through his heart. And he knows how to control Satan, which is his guts. And by behaving like that, by denying himself, is how he's saving energy. Because it's written that Christ, through the lips of the Master Jesus of Nazareth, he said, anyone that comes after, the one to come after me, he has to deny himself. What is to deny himself? It's not just avoiding the activity of your guts or your animal elements. It's also comprehension, meditation. Because the consciousness, unfortunately, is bottled within those animal elements. We had to take it out and place it into the astral solar body. But of course, there are certain elements in all of this story of humanity that says, for instance, the verse 14 of this chakra Manipura, "But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast stumbling rock before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication." Animal desires feed themselves through sensation desire. Sensation desire is that precisely that Kamarupa is related with. The way in which you, through our guts, we feed our elements with sensation desire, lust, and other type of inhuman elements that acts to that area. The opposite of sensation desire is sensation willpower. And that willpower is that element that should be under the service of the monad. Willpower is that that says, "Father, if it's possible, take this cup from me, but not my will, but thine be done." Willpower of God. And for that, we have to work a lot. And of course, Balaam are those individuals, a symbol of those individuals, that work with the Baalim. We will say that, in synthesis, in this area, all of those psychological elements that we have in the solar plex are the Baalim, our own particular Baalim. Baal means in Hebrew, mister or master. Master of the house. Satan, it's written, is a master of the house. Baal. So Baalam, of course, is that element, Hanasmus, it says Hanasmus, that follows his guts. But he knows the knowledge. He's following the doctrine of Gnosis, but is still identified with his pride, with self-esteem. He's not following the doctrine of Christ. He's being born, but he's not dying. And that's a problem. Because then it has two polarities. The polarity that follows the monad, and the other polarity that follows his guts. Anger. Vengeance. Pride. And that's why in our area, we have that we call mythomany. Or mythomania. You see here, the word myth is used another way. Myth means a chest, a box that has something hidden. So, of course, we find mythology. Mythology, which means a story within which the wisdom of the Logos is hidden. But mythomania is different. It's not mythology where the Logos is hidden. Mythomania is a box within which the mind, the manas, is hidden, which in this case is the animal mind, which is not the Logos, the truth, a beautiful truth, is a lie, then the opposite of the truth. So mythomania, of course, is based in the chakra Manipura. Enacting, of course, through illusions, fantasies of the mind. Somebody might think, because somebody told him, that he is a master such and such, and his name is this and that. And that person might believe it. And because the ego down there likes that, which is the ego of mystic pride or mystic vanity, that ego will take those thoughts and form a mystic figure that will appear in the dreams of the dreamer as his inner father. And we said, well, it's true, I am your father, and my name is this and that. And then the dreamer will return to his physical body and says, oh, I am the Bodhisattva, such and such master. And sometimes it doesn't need somebody to tell you. Sometimes if you believe firmly that you are something here in the solar plex, you will form that ego. That's why always my advice to all Gnostics is, do not believe yourself. When they come to me and they say, oh, I had this experience where I was this or I was that and I see myself, I said, well, who knows? Meditate. Analyze. Because you shouldn't believe yourself. And of course, many Gnostics come and tell me many things. I believe them, but I doubt also about them. Why? Because I don't believe in myself. I doubt of myself. So therefore, I arrive at the conclusion that what I should do always is to deny myself. And God is God, no matter what I think. His name will be always his name, no matter what I think. If I think that my name of my God is Jehovah, but the name of my God is not Jehovah, doesn't matter if I believe it. The name of my God will be what it is. But I can say and proclaim to the four winds, the name of my God is this and that, because I form some mythomaniac inside of me. Even, you know, when your God is God and is a master, you can form a mythomaniac ego inside of you that will take the shape of your God and will give you oracles in order to deviate you out of your path. That is also happening. It can happen. That's why we have to be careful with the double sharp sword that comes from our mouth. To be careful. Because only the ego of vanity and pride likes to say, I am the master this, I am the master that. What humanity needs is the knowledge, the doctrine, in order to annihilate the gods, their gods, their animal levels, and to be born as children of God, no matter what the name is. Who cares? The Master Samael on Vior gave his name because it was necessary for humanity to know that the wisdom that he was given was not his wisdom, but the wisdom of heaven, the wisdom of the cosmic Christ. But here in the earth, we that we're speaking here, we don't need to give our inner name. Why? Humanity doesn't need that. You need that. That was written there in this Manipura chakra, or Church of Pergamos, that when you overcome your negative emotions, you receive mana from heaven. What is that mana from heaven? You know that when the Israelites were in the wilderness and they were hungry of wisdom, it says that God gave them mana. It's not literally food, physical food, but food for the soul. Because it is written, not only from bread lives the man alone, but from the word that comes from the mouth of God. That word that comes from the mouth of God is the mana, is the superior bread, super substantial bread that nourishes the soul, that comes when you comprehend an ego. when you comprehend one of the animal elements that you have in your guts. And that mana comes, which is wisdom, virtue, a power, a food for the soul, for your spirit. And that, if you follow that and you overcome your negative emotions, and by practicing sexual magic, instead of forming mythomania, or a mythomaniac inside of you, which in this case is the symbol of Balak, which is formed within Balaam. You see, Balaam and Balak in this symbology is the same individual. Balaam is that negative entity, that Satan are here, that you are creating, double polarity, hanasmus. That Balak is that mythomania that is being formed there and that you believe. And meanwhile, then, if you follow that and you are mistaken in that way, you are a stumbling rock for the work of Nous, the luminous atoms of Israel. Because remember that Israel is a word that means Isis. And Ra, the solar force of the Divine Mother that works in your spinal column. El is God. Israel. The children of Israel are all of those solar atoms that come from Judah. The solar light, the lion of Judah, Leo, that rise there in the spinal column. So if you are, of course, being identified with your Balaam, with your Balak, that fire doesn't go further. You still, you are working from your own particular Satan instead of your own particular God. And that's precisely why the Master says that this path is full of dangers, inside and outside. Because there are many initiates or many students that are identified with their own particular Balaam and Balak. And they appear there like great illuminated, like great masters. That's why we liked to teach only Samael. Because it's what humanity needs. Humanity doesn't need to come and worship you. Because the one that needs or wants to be worshipped is the ego. Humanity needs to learn how to worship their own God. How to follow their own guru, their own master within, not outside. In my case, for instance, sometimes I am very strong in my talk, even with the students, and joke around, because I don't want anybody to follow me. Because it will be stupid. Everyone has to follow his own God, his own angel, in order to create his own particular Jesus Christ, in order to go to his own Father. And this is precisely by doing the work as we had to do it. You see how there says in the verse 15, so that thou also then, so hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which things I hate. Those Nicolaitans, in this case, are those elements that we have in this area, the Baalim, that like to fornicate. How many Nicolaitans do we have inside? Because the Nicolaitans, according to history, were individuals that were practicing Black Tantra. They were trying to awake, you see, to awake the fire of Satan, which is the Kundabafer, the tail of Satan. And of course, the Nicolaitans utilizes the solar force in a negative way in order to fortify the Satan. And then the Kundabafer develops and they awake. And they see things. And they think that is okay because they are awakening. We have to awaken in the good and for the good. Because it's written that Christ, the inner Lord, hates the deeds of the Nicolaitans, Black Tantra. But remember that us Nicolaitans are within us. All lustful egos in this area do not like transmutation, do not like chastity. They like to fornicate. And that's why in this area is where we have the karma of fornication and adultery. Because we committed adultery in the past and fornication because of the guts, of our guts. My guts tell me that that woman likes me, so I go after her. And fornicate, and commit adultery. How many things we have in this area? That's why it is written, the master said in one of his books, I don't remember which one, that the karma of ourselves is placed in the liver. Because this is how, you see, the hepatic plexus transforms the solar energy for our own particular Nicolaitans. So, of course, to work with the fire is to work with our emotions. Because remember that the fire is the origin of everything. Temptation is fire. Triumph over temptation is light. Now we have to find and to fight the consequences of our own past fire actions, past deeds, which are written in the kidneys, in the liver, in the prostate, in our sexual activities. Repent. But in order to repent, we have to comprehend the true repent. The true repentance is when we comprehend the ego. It's not there just by acting fanatically. Fanaticism is not good. We have to comprehend what we have to annihilate. That's why many Gnostics don't advance, because they're just a void. They don't comprehend. When you comprehend, and then chastity is being born, not only in the physical plane, but in all the planes. But that chastity is being born little by little as we meditate and comprehend lust in the 49 levels of the being, or the 49 levels of the mind. It's not something that you will acquire in 1 week, in 1 month, or 1 year. It's a whole process. Before entering into the absolute, you have to defeat the devil. That's why it is written there are many fallen angels. Because Lucifer, the solar fire, is always there. Solar light is everywhere. In the mineral kingdom, in the animal kingdom, in the human kingdom, in the plant kingdom, in the angel kingdom, in the logos kingdom, everywhere. In the absolute is the origin of that solar light. And then you are free. This is something that we have to understand. But it says, repent or else. You see? That else means, well, if you don't repent, if you don't want to do the work, it's okay. Nature will disintegrate with the fire, the atomic fire of the ninth sphere, your ego. There in hell. You will disintegrate in about 1,000 years if you are an average person that is good. But if you are an evil one, well, more than 1,000. But you will be disintegrated. That ill. This says, repent or else. But my daughter follow the path, it says, I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. If how is the Lord going to fight with the sword of his mouth? That sword is the word. When that word becomes flesh, if you follow the path of the Lord, that word, the verb of God, Christ, will incarnate in you, will become flesh in you, and then will fight with the power of that of the word in your initiation and disintegrate completely the three traitors. Because that Manipura chakra has an inverted triangle. If you see it, that inverted triangle is a representation of the three negative or evil friends of Job. The three brains of the three demons that we have. The three traitors of Christ. Judas, Pilate, and Caiaphas. Or the three traitors of Moses. Shatam, Abiram, and Kore. There are many names in different philosophies and schools about these three traitors that have the base here. You see? It's in the Manipura chakra, that inverted triangle of fire. But it's related with your intellectual center, your emotional center, and your instinctual motor center, sexual center. And if you overcome all of that, you received a small stone, the stone of truth, the rock on which you are building your own temple, the astral body. When you receive the third initiation of the fire, it is because you overcame Satan only in the emotional aspect. Because after that, you had to overcome Satan in the mental aspect, related with the Sephiroth. But obviously, each level has three aspects, mental, emotional, and sexual. So when you overcome that level of Hod, glory, and then you have the astral body, internally you receive your name. Why? Because that solar body is divine, it's immortal. And then you receive the name of your God for the first time. If your God allows you, you will remember that in the physical plane. If not, it will allow you to remember that, because it's his name, not your name. The name that we have here is just an accident. That's why when people say, identify, oh, this is my name, this is my family, this is the name that I was born, this is my last name, whatever. This is baloney. The true name, immortal, eternal, that cannot be erased, even if you want to erase it from yourself, you cannot, because it belongs to your monad. That's the true name that you have. The other names, doesn't matter. That's why it comes into my mind now, the Count of Saint-Germain. Every time that he appears, utilizes a name. Cagliostro also utilizes many names. Why? Because in this physical plane, you have to utilize a name according to the epoch, according to the circumstances, in order to behave in society. But the Indian name is sacred. You cannot change that. But the physical name comes and goes. It's really related with death. So that's the name that we have to fight to find. And if we find it, keep it for yourself. Don't scream to the four winds, my name, second name is this and that. When do you find all master doing that? There's a great master, for instance, the Dalai Lama. He's a great master. He's a reincarnation. I don't see him proclaiming his name to the four winds, because he has responsibility. He knows that it's sacred. He doesn't need to proclaim his inner name. Do you have questions?
How does the being receive a name?
The name of the being is related with its own vibration, with its own nature. When the monad emerges for the first time from the absolute, that monad is a word. You see? It's like, for instance, saying the Absolute utters a name which is part of its essence, and that name goes out. That is the monad. And that's a word. So every monad is in itself a word, a name. When Samael, for instance, was created, the monad said, I mean, the Absolute says, or the Ein Sof said, Samael. And Samael came to the existence. And that was the monad. Michael, and it was there. Because in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. So when you say your name, your second name, you are naming your own God, its own essence. And that's why Matthew says, only those that have annihilated completely his own ego have the right to say their name if they want. Or in any circumstances. Maybe sometimes the law demands it, but it's not necessary.
Mm-hmm. It's not intuition, because intuition you would feel more up here, right? So you're saying not to follow your guts, but my guts, for example, have helped me in situations that have been dangerous. So to an extent, we have to follow our guts in those dangerous kind of moments.
Okay, let us explain this. Remember that we are 97% animal and 3% human. When I said that we don't have to follow our guts, I meant the Baalim. I meant the Nicolaitans. All of those animal elements that we have there. But I also said that in this area we have the telepathic center, which receives the waves of nature. Obviously, angels, our own particular guardian angel as well, send thoughts. Even our God. Sometimes when I am in meditation, I receive a thought. And then I analyze, oh, this is not my thought. This is not for my guts. This is a thought sent by my God, captured by my telepathic center, like that. Intuitive thought that tells me something. And then I analyze, oh, this is. Because when I give a lecture, before that, I meditate in what I'm going to talk. And when I don't understand something, I said, my God, what is this? And I just stay there. And shoo, comes the answer. Oh, and I understand. That is called Kabbalah, because Kabbalah means to receive. Right? So when you are in your daily life, of course, the angels, the forces of nature, are always warning people. Animals receive that information through their guts, I mean through the solar plexus in this way, right? And they obey, because they have no conflict with their intellect. But also the intellectual animals receive that warning. But they are very occupied with their vanity, with their selfiness, self-esteem, with their greed, with their anger, with their lust. So they don't care, they don't pay attention to what their guts or what the information is received there. It's also, for instance, when you are talking with somebody and suddenly you think, oh, I don't know why I have the thought about this person. Later on, 5 minutes later, somebody is ringing the bell of your door. You say, who is this? And it's the person what you were thinking in. Meaning that that person was thinking in you and you were receiving the information through your guts. You see? So in this way, you have to understand. Your guts always tells you. This is a telepathic center. Many things. But you don't have to follow your guts, means you don't have to follow your instinctual negative animal forces. Understand?
For example, sometimes I feel that, right? And I feel something negative, and I feel fear, right? But that could also be my ego just playing with me in a sense.
Exactly.
So that's the differentiation between.
Or might be, for instance, let's say that you are working in this company and suddenly you have a hunch, or your guts tells you, you are going to be fired. That thought is captured by your ego of fear because you have no faith in your God. So therefore you feel that also in that area. The information might be right,
But the way that you are transforming that information is wrong. You understand that? Because you have to have faith in God. You will say, okay, if they fire me, so what? I'm going to be alive. I will find another job. No problem. What should I identify with something that sooner or later will disappear?
But also, couldn't you be picking up, say for example, when other people are feeling the fear as well? Say you're in a situation that you don't know what's going to happen. Maybe there's some kind of imminent danger at hand. You could be picking up the fear of other people as well, those surrounding you.
Yeah.
Then you sense it as well.
You always capture the mental waves of people, no matter what they are feeling, through your solar plexus.
So
always.
If you're in a situation, for example, in a place that has many people who are very, you know, like in a bar, lustful, that's why we say it's not good to be in a place like that, because you're capturing all those.
Exactly. This is how the master says, if you go to a place where the people always just to think and lustful things, obviously your telepathic center will capture that and will feed your ego, obviously. That's why we have always to be careful where we go, etc. And that's why the best way is to go to nature, because animals, etc., obey the law. They are not degenerated as we are degenerated. And remember that we emit thoughts with the pineal gland, with the brain. But we capture those with the telepathic center within this area, the solar plex.
One more thing. Sorry. I like this topic. But then by living, for example, in a city where we have so many people around us, obviously, like, we have these houses that are, you know, people living above us, people living below us, people living to the side of us, we're also receiving so much of those thoughts, feelings, energy from those people. So we're in constant stimulation of our centers. That's why it's so much more difficult to live in a city than, say, for example, in the country.
That's why the master says that those that self-realize themselves in cities like this, obviously, they develop a very strong willpower. Mm-hmm. Masters with a strong willpower, because they are constantly battled, right? And, of course, that's why the master gave many weapons. Elion, Melion, Tetragrammaton. You know, for instance, I'm conjuring right now, you know, you, because you have many questions. You see? Protecting myself. Another question?
A lot of questions.
How is it that black magicians and negative entities can disable us through the solar plexus?
Disable us? In which way?
Attack,
oh, well, it's easy. Why do the witches and black magicians and everybody, politicians and propaganda or advertisement, TV, move us? Why? Because they utilize those guts, animal elements that we have inside, and that enter into your plexus. And then you are becoming a slave, a marionette from those that wants to move you. If somebody wants you to, for instance, to smoke this cigarette, if you have that vice, they put a woman there or something sexual. And then you go and buy that brand. Or you want this, even for buying, for instance, a car. They always associate that with sex. Why? Because it's what humanity likes. And they attack us to that, and we attract that, and we go and buy the car that they want to buy. I mean, that they want us to buy.
And that's how they disable us.
This is how, exactly. This is how they disable us, because we are not following our inner God, but other wills of people. This is called black magic.
Can you explain the practice of the Holy Eight and the relationship of the solar plexus with the lunar mind?
Well, the Holy Eight is the way in which we learn how to transfer the solar atoms that we have in the solar plex to the head. And we place the negative atoms of the lunar mind that we have in the head through the solar plex, in order to make, for a while, our mind solar. But we have to understand here the meaning of this, because we are talking here about the inferior manas, which is not the mental solar body. Inferior manas is a protoplasmatic lunar body that animals have. And of course, depends from the forces of the solar plex. But when we want to Christify or to solarize that mental body, we can do the practice of Viparita Karani Mudra. And then the solar fire of the solar plexus transfer to the head, and the lunar atoms of the animal mind are transferred to the area where all those guts, animal guts, are there, to later on to transform them. That helps, of course. That was the question, right?
No, what is the practice of the Holy
Eight? It is, the Holy Eight is in which you imagine a Holy Eight, I mean, from the navel, going a current of solar light to your head, and from your head going down another current of lunar light into your navel, making the Holy Eight while you're praying and doing the Viparita Karani Mudra. That's a nice work that anybody can perform in order to help in his development.
There was a second part to that question.
Solar plexus with the lunar mind.
Well, the solar plexus, of course, is an accumulation of solar light. We are not passing, of course, the cut or the animal negative emotions into the head. No, we are transforming that solar energy that is placed every day in the solar plexus. To the liver and to the spleen, utilizing that in the positive way, because most of the time you use it only in the wrong way. Yeah?
Why does Shivananda say that we can awaken the powers of the chakras by concentrating and meditating on them? Don't we need alchemy to do this?
No, you can do it, but of course meditating in it, for that you have to annihilate all of those egos related with it. It's not that just by meditating in it and concentration in it. Yogananda or Shivananda says that in a very synthetic way. All the masters talk in a synthetic way. That's why there are many followers of Shivananda that have years or years concentrating in that chakra. Meanwhile, they don't acquire anything because their gut's still full with egos. We have to meditate to comprehend that in order to develop the positive fire. Otherwise, we can also awake it in a negative way as a black magician, but that's another thing.
Concerning Lucifer, how should we understand the following quote from The Perfect Matrimony? When the paradisical human being fornicated, he then penetrated into the kingdom of the Lucifers. The human being of this day and age is luciferic.
Well, it's related, of course, with the kingdom of desire. He's talking about that Luciferian force transformed into a negative force, is becoming Satan. In other words, that solar fire called Lucifer became Satan, or Shatan, the enemy. You got to understand that this humanity is luciferic, meaning that it's using the power of Lucifer as animals. If you use the power of Lucifer as human, then you become an angel. Lucifer is a stairs to heaven and a stairs to hell. The thing is that sometimes the masters don't explain in detail, right? But we explain here how Lucifer transformed into Satan, into this area. But it's the same Lucifer, but transforming in a negative way. You see, the solar fire is the creator of good and evil. You have to understand that.
What is the name of the satanic atom situated between the navel and the pit of the stomach?
The name. Call it Apollyon or Abaddon. Yeah.
Didn't we used to have a lunar plexus, which switched with the solar mind when humanity fell, hence creating the solar plexus?
A lunar plexus. Well, it might. Maybe that solar plexus was not there, but I think that we have it there because we are more animal than human.
Can Hannes Musen, like Andromalek, be awakened both positively and negatively?
This is what Hannes Musen is. The monad is a master, and the ego is also a master. That is a Hanan's Mus. The monad Andromalek, of course, He's a great master of the ray of strength. That's why this being is called the Black Samael, or Samael the Black, because of the lunar forces, which in this case we will say Apollyon, or Abaddon, of Andromelech, or walk in evil and for evil. And he's a demon that serves the negative, the evolving forces of nature. And he's awakened for the evil and by the evil. So it's a double polarity. That's why when you invoke Andromelech, maybe the demon will come, or maybe the being will come. If the being comes, he will tell you, I warn you that my other part is awakened but in evil. So don't believe everything that I said to you. Well, the master that is completely dead in all of the egos is a white master. Between quotations and parentheses, all of us are Hanasmusen, but not like Andromelech, because we are unfortunately asleep in all of the levels. No more questions. So thank you very much, and this is it.